Welcome back, everyone, to the Matthew Santoro podcast. Today is Saturday, October 24th at 5:06 p.m., and this is episode 50. And I wasn't sure that we would ever actually get back to this, but here we are. And if you're still rocking with me and you see this and you're listening to this, thank you guys so much. The last episode that we did was February 10th of 2019. My God. Over a year and a half ago, a year and what, 7, 8 months, something like that. Time flies, my friends, time flies. It's amazing how much the world has changed during that time. The last time I did a podcast, the world was more or less sane. Nothing was crashing down, the sky wasn't falling, or so it feels like. But here we are back at it again in the middle of a pandemic. And I'm not even sure where to start because so much has changed in the last over a year and a half. But the silver lining to this pandemic most certainly is that it's given people the opportunity to jump into or back into things that they're passionate about. And this podcast is something that I really enjoy doing. But with my personality, the way that it usually goes is I overwhelm myself, and then I stop. That's just the way I am. It's something that's made me successful in the past, but it's unbridled ambition sometimes, and unbridled ambition can be very dangerous. It can be something that can absolutely destroy someone. And in my case, I just stopped the podcast because I was doing 3 a week on top of other things, and I just really wasn't happy, but my escape from this pandemic has really been creation. Creation has been a really absolutely a blessing for me, getting back to it. And don't get me wrong, I'm still not 100% in it. My heart is not 100% in it, but it's more in it than it ever has been before. And I think there's something to be said for that, for sure. But that being said, I'd like to get into the state of the world. What's going on with Bitcoin? We haven't talked about Bitcoin in a long time. And this podcast is largely going to be in the category of personal journals because I feel like that category is the most appropriate for Apple podcasts. I went through all the different categories. This used to be entertainment, which was appropriate back when I was doing this because I was interviewing people. But obviously, with the pandemic and whatnot, it's largely going to be personal journals as I do this maybe once a week, maybe twice a week. We're not going to push it this time. And as we experiment with what we're going to be talking about, and it's mostly going to be me, but I'm not shutting down the opportunity or the possibility to collaborate with other people. And that's important to say. But without further ado, episode 50's here. Wherever you're listening to this, I hope your life is good. If you're watching this on YouTube, hi. And I know the world is a crazy place right now. What's changed in my life is I now live back home in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And it feels good. It feels so good. As much as I'm struggling right now with the gyms being closed, with what the Premier of Ontario is calling a rollback to stage 2, I'm still glad and I'm still grateful and happy that I'm closer to my family, that my cats have survived the trip from Los Angeles, and that I have my health. And during a time like this, maybe that's all that one can hope for. Maybe that's all that one really needs is just to hold on to gratitude for what one has in one's life. And right now, career-wise, it feels like I've never had less of a voice. Now, I am going to talk about my career a little bit, and I want to preface what I'm saying with the fact of I've learned a tremendous amount since the last podcast. I've grown enormously as a human being. And I've learned a lot about myself, the ego, and how during moments like this, when I'm not really myself, which I certainly have not been over the last 2 weeks because of, again, the gyms being down and that dramatically affecting my mental health, there's a possibility that I'm going to say things that are ego-driven. And what I mean by that is not ego in the traditional sense of somebody that's arrogant or pompous. What I mean by the ego is the phantom self that runs your life when you're not there as the witnessing consciousness. And I don't think we've ever really talked about spirituality too deeply in this podcast before, but, and I don't think we will in this one either, but I'm going to leave it at that and just explain what I mean by my ego. It's that part of me that when something upsets me, it upsets me a lot more than normal. And if I'm not careful, it's really easy to take things personally, make assumptions, say things that I normally wouldn't say, and just give up. And those four things are direct violations of the four promises. Is that the name of the book, The Four Promises? I can't even think of it at the moment because my brain isn't quite right. But let me do some quick Googling. But it's by Don Miguel Ruiz. And it's one of my favorite books of all time. And I'm literally going to look it up. The Four Promises? The Four Agreements. Oh, good Lord, Matt. Come on. You're better than that. You're better than that. It's one of my favorite books and I can't even think about it. But see, that's another side effect of this pandemic and not exercising. I haven't exercised for 2 weeks now. I'm not proud of that, but it has dramatically affected my mental health and my cognitive abilities. For that, like that, for example, I could not recall the name of one of my favorite books, The Four Agreements, The Four Promises. I mean, okay, close though, not bad. But those four things are a direct violation of those. And I can feel it. Whenever I'm struggling, I can absolutely feel when I'm violating those things. And it's my ego. And sometimes I just embrace it. Like I've started creating on Twitch a lot and doing live streams on there where we go live for 1 to 3 hours every day, sometimes twice a day. And it's a great little community. And there's something special about having just about 30 to 50 people watch me. I really enjoy that. But like I went live today and I wasn't feeling that great. And I started to feel good near the end. But the thing is that I was cognizant enough and aware of myself enough, even if I couldn't shut down the ego, which is nearly impossible, at least I was able to say to my audience, hey, I might say something that is not the normal me, and just know that it's not me, it's my ego speaking. And maybe that's all I can hope for right now. But I know that I need to get back to it. And I need to get back to a lot of things. I need to get back to this, which I'm doing right now. It's very exciting. But after this, to be honest with you, I think I'm going to go for a run. I got to get back to it. I got to pick myself up, kick my own ass, and say, Matt, stop wallowing. The gyms are closed, but that doesn't mean that I can't still eat healthy. It doesn't mean that I can't go running. And between exercise and creation, I should be okay. I'm a very, very social person, but that's really not an option right now. When I moved back to Toronto, which I'll get a little bit more in depth about in just a moment, I was so, well, first of all, it was hell for the first 2 weeks because I was in lockdown. I was required by the government, because I was coming from Los Angeles, to not leave the house for 2 weeks, which to me is very controversial. The amount of deaths of despair from people being locked in the house has astronomically increased, whether it be suicides, alcoholism, deaths related to abuse, you know, partners being in close proximity for too long together. But in my case, obviously, none of those things happened. But that's what I mean by the 2 weeks that they require is dangerous. It's absolutely dangerous. The director of the CDC said that the number of deaths of despair are going to outnumber the deaths from COVID at least 10 to 1. By the end of this pandemic, there will be easily, and this is a conservative estimate, that deaths of despair will top a million as a conservative estimate. And yet we've got less than a quarter million deaths, recorded deaths, attributed deaths to COVID in the United States. And I say attributed because the numbers are estimated to be inflated by about 25%. What do I mean by that? Well, it's been proven that people that come in that die that aren't related to COVID, if they had COVID in their system, they're written down as COVID. Car crash, if you had COVID in a system, it's a COVID death. Believe it or not, that's happening. And you might be wondering why. The reason that's happening is because hospitals get more federal funding for the more deaths that they record, states as well. So there's definitely an incentive to inflate those numbers. And, you know, that's something that the media is not going to tell you. But, you know, the media sells fear. That's what they do. And I even try to tell my own mom, whenever I go over to her house, I'd say 75% of the time CNN's playing in the background. And I tried to sit down with her one day, now that I'm back home, and I said, Mom, I need you to try to turn that off. Stop listening to the news. Don't get me wrong, it's important to be educated, and one needs to listen to what's going on in the world, of course. You can't stick your head in the sand like a ostrich, as it were, and pretend like nothing's going on. But the news should be taken in small doses, because in large doses, much like medicine, it can kill you. And so my recommendation to anyone who wants to be informed is inform yourself. But if you are going to inform yourself in the news, watch CNN, but also watch Fox News. And understand that both are drastically biased in their presentation of the news. CNN is wildly an extremist left. Fox News is, I don't know if I would say extremist right, but they are pretty right. They're pretty right-leaning. And left and right, by the way, are U.S. terms. If you're not familiar, if you're not from the United States listening to this, the left is democratic, liberal. The right is conservative. And they're represented by blue for democratic, red for Republican, which is conservative on the right. It's crazy times. It's absolutely crazy times. But that's a good segue, talking about the extreme left and why I left Los Angeles. I left Los Angeles, my God, I got back here July 13th, 3 days before my 35th birthday. I spent my birthday alone, and that was awful, but I knew it was coming, and I did that by choice. And it's, you know, there's many reasons I left Los Angeles. Part of it is I realized so many lies that were being told in society that are largely propagated by the left. And there's pretty much nowhere more leftist than Los Angeles, California. Now, I want to clarify here by saying I'm Canadian and I do not belong to any one political party, especially not in the United States with their madness that's going on right now. But I am able to recognize lies that come out of the media in particular. And the media is largely left-leaning. And that was part of the reason, because Los Angeles is, it's a beautiful place in many ways. In many, many ways. The food is great. Some of the people are great. The culture is pretty cool. There's lots of stuff to see. Beautiful people everywhere. Lots to experience. The weather, can't forget the weather. But when it comes down to where I want to raise a family one day, I can tell you it's not Los Angeles. I can absolutely tell you that. And I, you know, if I have to be honest here, I think I've been thinking about it for a while. I had been. But I would say the catalyst for what made me move back here was I thought I had found potentially my life partner. And maybe I was naive. Maybe I just had rose-colored glasses on. But I really thought that I had found someone that could be my life partner. And that would be my ex-girlfriend. And when I got back from Trinidad, she broke up with me. And her reasoning was, suffice it to say, flimsy. Flimsy. And it was very LA, the way that she approached it. And that was the moment where I thought, this is not a place I want to raise a family. Not with the belief system that people have in Los Angeles, the culture of what's best for me, always best for me. That's the concept that every single person lives their life by. But I do want to say that that doesn't necessarily make it wrong. Is it selfish? Absolutely. But what you have to understand is that if you go to Los Angeles and you live there, you're going there, hopefully, with full knowledge of that. And I kind of did. And so I can't be mad at it. You can't be mad at a scorpion for stinging you. It's a scorpion. That's what it does. Scorpion's not going to cuddle you. You get me? So I think that that applies to a lot in life. Understand what you're getting into and understand who you're getting into it with. And looking back, I was pretty surprised because this person that I dated admitted at the end of it and said I was a really awful girlfriend. I didn't put in enough effort, which was absolutely true. I put in 99% of the effort in that relationship. She planned a date once. She planned one date in the over 6 months we dated. That really warmed my heart when she did that. Looking back, though, that would never happen again. Never happen again. I remember we sat down, and I was so, I don't know, I guess I just had such an idea that I found the one that I would believe anything and just accept anything she told me. And I remember sitting down and her saying, I was raised that men pay for everything and you're basically going to take care of me. My dad was that way. That's how he raised us. And looking, basically, I remember her specifically saying, you're going to pay for everything in the relationship. And many of you are going to cringe listening to that. And I can't believe, I mean, I can believe that I accepted it, but you have to understand the context. It was during a time where I was going what I call, quote unquote, fully spiritual, where I kind of checked out of the material world and I just experimented with not allowing anything to bother me. The problem with that is it's what Buddhists would call a stone Buddha. It's, you know, you're basically no better than a literal stone Buddha because nothing affects you. You could get bonked on the head with a staff and it wouldn't hurt you because you don't have feelings. Basically, in our, you know, regional dialect, I suppose we would say it turns you into a robot. And I experimented with the spiritual concepts of not allowing anything to bother me. Nothing is either good nor bad, only thinking makes it so. That's how I lived my life. That's what Shakespeare said. And it didn't turn out well because I think what ended up happening at the end of it was she wanted a more aggressive guy. She wanted somebody that would lay down the law and say, this is the way it's going to be. And I was way too passive. And that'll never happen again because I believe in the middle way. Buddhism is founded on the Four Noble Truths, but the Buddha advocated for the middle way, which says that you should never go extreme in either direction. In the truth, in the best way to live your life is always down the middle. That is why I would never be Republican or Democrat, because both are extremes. Centrist, if you will. Now, for me, being that way is the best, because what it does is it allows me my spiritual side, let's call it hand left here, and it allows me my hand on the right, which let's call that fully immersed in this world. In the middle, if I'm in a relationship, that would be best, because it allows me to allow, let's say, water off a duck's back for things that, you know, aren't really worth arguing about. However, it does allow for me to recognize when something just isn't right and allow myself to have that human experience and say, hey, you are not putting in enough effort in this relationship. You should not be texting me back 24 hours later when I text you as your boyfriend. That's kind of effed up. We need to do something about that, or we're just going to have to move on. And looking back, that's what I should have done. But enough about the relationship. That's a big reason why I left Los Angeles, because I realized, wow, this really great person ended up not really being so great, being pretty selfish, really. And I didn't want to experience that again. And I know the women in Toronto are better. But again, if you're going to date in Los Angeles, just understand what you're getting into. And that, by the way, I need to definitely clarify here. Not every woman in Los Angeles is an awful or evil person or selfish or immature. And not every guy is evil, selfish, immature, etc. There are some really, really wonderful people there. And I met some incredible people that are still friends. Some YouTubers like Louis Cole, great guy. I'm sure you guys know Fun for Louis, previously known as Food for Louis. Travel vlogger, incredible guy. Just genuinely nice. Kind of an anomaly in Los Angeles. And a lot of people that are nice to you out there will absolutely be nice to you because it'll benefit them. And they know, what can I get out of this person? But at the same time, those do exist everywhere. It's just it exists in a more concentrated form in Los Angeles. But now that I'm home, I feel more ready to live my life than ever. The problem is not exactly the time for that with the pandemic going on. When I got home, yes, the 2 weeks I had to lock down was tough, but holy God, when that was over, I was ready to socialize. I was ready to see all my friends. And while I did have lunch with a lot of them, probably 80%, there's still 20% that won't see me because they literally won't see anybody because they're so terrified of this virus that has a 99.9% survival rate, by the way. They're terrified of it. They're young, healthy individuals. But look, I am not one to judge. I was starting to judge and take things personally, again, breaking the rule of the four agreements, but I realize it's a matter of compassion. There's a lot of people that are very frightened right now. And don't get me wrong, I don't want to get COVID either. But if I did, I'm fairly certain I'd be just fine. A lot of people that get it, assuming that you're healthy, have little to no symptoms. Some people will have a stuffed up nose, some people have a sore throat, maybe at the most feel fatigued, and then it goes away. Just like the four other most common strains of the coronavirus. In case you didn't know, there's 7 strains. And we get 4 of them every year. You might not know that, but we do. We get 4 strains of the coronavirus, but the other 3 are the more serious ones. MERS, SARS, and COVID-19. But that being said, it's not nearly as deadly as the media is making it out to be. Do we need to be safe? Absolutely. Do we need to wear our masks? Absolutely. Are they effective at keeping the virus out? Absolutely not. Of course not. I mean, a virus is microscopic. However, they do prevent large ejections, like, for example, a sneeze, from landing on someone. So it does have a purpose. And largely, it's kind of like the TSA. It's mostly security theater. It makes people feel safe. And I'm sure in some cases it does protect. If anything, if nothing else, it protects more than it harms. Because it really doesn't do any harm. So why not wear one, right? Just understand the facts about it. So I definitely wear my mask everywhere. But I'm in a place in my life now where I'm ready to date. I'm ready to get out. I'm ready to go to soca parties. Oh my God. I cannot wait to find me a girl that listens to soca. Oh my God, especially if she can whine. You kidding me? Come on now. But I think you caught me in a moment. But I'm really looking forward to getting out and living my life. But things are going to be delayed. It's going to be delayed. Probably another year, if I had to guess. Probably another year. And that's all right. I'm going to use that time and this time to create, and hence why the podcast is back. And I feel good about that. I feel good about that. And I believe that there's a silver lining to everything. I believe that there's a reason for everything. I swear to God, that's not the Rona. my throat and my voice is just dry because it's not used to talking this long without having a sip. Usually when I play Twitch, I drink. And anyway. But everything's going to be all right. And everything, you know, a lot of people are discovering their spiritual side during this time. A lot of people are discovering meditation. A lot of people are realizing that they don't want to be at that job that they've been furloughed from or got laid off from or fired from, or their hours have been reduced. They're realizing that. People are waking up. There's an awakening happening. It's accelerating the awakening that was already happening on this planet. And when I refer to an awakening, I'm referring to a spiritual awakening. And so it's not all bad. It's not. And I understand that there's a lot of people suffering, but change cannot and does not happen without suffering. That is a fact. If everything was good all the time, you would have no reason, no incentive to change your thinking, your body, or your life. And my hope is that you're all staying healthy. My hope is that you're going to use this time. Just use it, folks. Please. Why not? You know, in the words of one of my favorite motivational speakers, you're already hurting, get a reward from it. And that's Eric Thomas, by the way. You want some motivation? Look up Eric Thomas, E.T. Whew. But you're already hurting, get a reward from it. That's my recommendation to you. I'm never going to try to preach to you guys, but I believe that my purpose for being on this earth is to relieve others' suffering. I say that specifically and not just make people happy, because making people happy is one thing, but opening people's eyes to some of the things that I've learned through my spiritual journey, hopefully will show you the door to certain things as I've been shown in the past. My baby cat Ned is at the door. Hi, son. So I'm going to end this broadcast right here. Some of these podcasts will be an hour. Some will be half an hour. Some might be longer. I don't know. Some might be less, but I'm not putting any pressure on myself. I'm just grateful for you watching. I'm grateful for you listening on probably Apple Podcasts. And as always, if you got something out of this, if you took just a moment to rate it 5 stars, I know you're very busy, but it definitely helps. Thank you, guys. I wish you the absolute best. And I'm really looking forward to episode 51. Thanks again, guys. I'll see you next time.